Okay, Wednesday 3/26/25. This is a teaching called God's Chastening or Warfare. I think, you know, some people get them confused. And this morning I just kind of had that come. So we're going to read Hebrews chapter 12 first. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, that comforted me. I said, Lord, I hate mine too. I hate my cross too. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? We understand that in the natural world, but do we understand it as a Christian? Most Christians don't want to go through nothing. But if ye be without a chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. There's many that the Lord told us it started this journey, but it got too hot. So they got out. Lest there be any fornicator, profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He was unrestrained. He wouldn't submit to chastisement. Fear not, come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor with blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it was shall be stoned and thrust through with the darts. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Ye are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. That's what the chastening's about. As of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. The word chasten there in the Greek is to train up a child, to educate, to discipline by punishment. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 11:12 talks about chastened. We're going to look at all these scriptures. It's got that word in it. Sometimes you got to spank a little honey. That's the way you discipline a child. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Just like Hebrews said, he chastens us for our good.
What verse was that?
11:32. 1 Corinthians 11:32. Like Hebrews 12:10 there, chastening, tutorage, education or training, disciplinary action, correction, basically the same thing. Let's go back to Hebrews 12 a second. Verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Then 7, if ye under chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Well, he's a brat. People that don't discipline their kids, have you ever been out at public and somebody's got a passel of kids and they don't mind and they're running all over the store and pulling things off the shelf and acting like heathens? Yeah. 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. With that, let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Correction there means a straightening up again. In other words, the tree wants to bend and do wild branches, but the Lord keeps the tree pruned, straightening up again. This is how God instructs and trains his children. How can we be sure if it is God or not? Is God just allowing things? What's the difference between warfare and chastening? What are the characteristics of the two? Sometimes, well, God's just allowing it. God's just allowing it. God's just allowing it. Well, maybe so, but I'm going to look here. Says here, hinder means to beat back. Hinder. The word hinder, Galatians 5:7. Lest Satan hinder. Right here, Galatians 5:7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Who did hinder you? Hinder means to beat back. Romans 15:22. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. He was much hindered to getting to this destination. Hindered by who? Here's what it means to hinder. To cut into, impede, detain, or tedious. Right here, tedious is just wearisome. Things just become so tedious that you just get weary in it. I know what that feels like. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. We need to learn the definition between chastisement of the Lord and Satan's hindering. Sometimes it's a little vague. Well, is this the devil or is I being chastened by the Lord? 1 Peter 3:7. I think it's 2 Peter because that doesn't fit. I forgot to put the, which one? 2 Peter 3:7. Well, I guess not. Maybe I just got the scripture.
It's got the word hindered in it.
Where? 2? 1 Peter?
3:7.
1 Peter 3:7, okay. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according, to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So that's just talking about really your love walk. Hindered, another word here is frustration, to frustrate. I personally believe that most of the time what we're experiencing is warfare and not chastisement. I mean, we're all going through periods of chastening of the Lord, but I can say from personal experience, I believe 99% of what I'm going through is not chastisement, but it is warfare. All right, let's keep going here. Warfare. Second Corinthians. This is 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge are committed to thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Here's what warfare is. Military service. The apostolic career is one of hardship and danger. Paul was so slammed and overwhelmed that he went to the Lord about it. Okay, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You know this well. We know God chastens you as a child. He uses his word to chasten us. Okay, 2 Corinthians 12. Let's look 7 through 10 here. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. This is warfare, not chastisement. Chastening is being chastened of the Lord, being coming into line with his word, like a bent tree. But all this other stuff, that's warfare. So this all, well, I must have done something wrong, or maybe I missed the Lord. No, warfare. That's why I wanted to bring this, because we've got to keep it straight. We've submitted to the chastening of the Lord. We've been trained, but now this is warfare. Military service, Okay, grace here. Charis, the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life and the vines, it's the power and equipment to do ministry. So when you come under this bombardment, that's when you call on the grace. When you're going through chastisement, that's a different story. All right, let's look at some scriptures here. Romans 1, 5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So they received grace for apostleship among the nations where they were sent. Their jurisdictions, if you will. Romans 15, this is 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, also are able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. That's what the grace was for ministry and warfare. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. So the grace was there to build the foundation. Warfare, building the foundation, doing the work of the ministry. Galatians 2. Verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. What'd they see? Signs and wonders. Think about it. When they saw the grace that was given unto me, they recognized, well, he is what he says. One more, Ephesians chapter 3. And from what the Lord has spoken, the remembering of what the Lord has spoken in these visitations about the warfare and it getting bumpy because the church is lifting off, headed to third heaven authority, to not expect a little extra flack or warfare is really naive. All right, 3, 1 through 7. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. In other words, the mystery of Christ. It's been a mystery from the very beginning, being disclosed to the church. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. So I hope you can see the difference between what chastisement is. He's dealing with you as with sons, training, teaching, exhorting, and what when you get into the real deal, the warfare that comes. There's a big difference between the two.